Hi, you're listening to Between the Margins here on CHRW 94.9 FM. I'm Gio Lakey.
And I'm Michelle Boyce.
And you're listening to a show about human rights and people's pursuit of happily ever after. Today we'll be speaking with Canadian Paralympic swimmer and medalist Darda Sayles, as well as U.S. Paralympic soccer player and international comedy superstar Josh Blue. Darda is an RBC Olympian and Paralympic swimmer who represented Canada in the 2000 Summer Paralympic Games in Sydney and in the 2004 Summer Paralympic Games in Athens, where she won, I believe, respectively, gold and silver. And this year, she had the honor of being selected the first Olympic torchbearer for the St. Thomas leg of the Olympic torch relay. Also, we'll have a bit of a discussion about the tribute to these athletes, a joint effort between Pfizer Canada and the Canadian Paralympic Committee, in the form of a free online book dedicated to our nation's Paralympic team.
Yes, and this is after I graduated from college. This woman saw me playing soccer. She's like, you know there's a team for you to play on. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, the Paralympics, the Special Olympics? She's like, no, Paralympics, it's especially for disabled people. And she gave me this tiny little slip of paper with his coach's email address on it. I must have carried that thing around for 3 months before I got the balls to, like, write him. I said, my name is Josh, I'm 22 years old, and I'm a damn good soccer player. And the next day I got the email back saying, nice to meet you, Josh. We're always looking for damn good soccer players. 3 weeks later, they flew me to D.C. for a tryout, and I've been a starter or a first sub ever since.
All my friends, with open arms and glowing hearts, let's welcome the Olympic players here in St. Thomas, Ontario!
Darda Sayles is joining us on the line here on Between the Margins. Hi, Darda.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Must have been pretty exciting there in St. Thomas when you had the flame in your hands.
Well, actually, I wasn't a flame torchbearer in St. Thomas.
You weren't?
No, I'm part of the RBC Olympian program, and so I was part of the team promoting the torch and getting all the excitement going, but unfortunately, I was not able to actually carry it.
Oh, how unfortunate. So, yeah, there we go. Don't depend on what you see in the media, eh?
True enough.
There's a whole article on you done in the St. Thomas Times about you carrying the torch.
Oh, my. Whoops.
Yeah, so I guess you don't believe everything you read in the press.
True.
So, you're a Paralympic swimmer.
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you won gold in Australia.
Yep.
And you won silver in
Athens, I believe.
In Athens.
That's true. That's
yeah.
True.
So, how was that? That must have been the most amazing experience of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, just being part of the games, it's just such an amazing experience to see all the amazing athletes from all the different countries coming together in one place for the sole purpose of competing is absolutely amazing. And to have the privilege to stand, you know, on the top of the podium, receive a gold medal, and watch the flags raise, it's pretty breathtaking. And even today, I mean, it's been 10 years and I still look at my gold medal and kind of get the shivers from it.
I can certainly imagine. Well, I know that every athlete has their story of how they got involved in their sports. How did you end up getting involved in swimming?
Well, I am a right leg amputee and I got in a farm accident when I was about just under 3 years old, and that's how I lost my limb. And after that, I went to the hospital, of course, had surgeries and all that stuff. And then they sent me home and I started going to physiotherapy. And I went to physiotherapy for about 6 years, and by the time I was 9, I absolutely hated it. So they suggested that I start taking swimming lessons, simply just to keep me active and moving around. And after a couple months of doing that, the therapeutic recreation specialist at the Children's Treatment Center, where I was taking my swimming lessons, asked if I'd like to try competitive swimming. And that was a really big moment for me, because I was one of those kids, you know, don't run too well, don't jump too high, so, you know, last picked for every sport in school. So it was really awesome for someone to be offering me my own sport. So I jumped at that opportunity and I went to my first swim meet, and I guess you could say I was pretty much hooked from there.
Wonderful. So, yeah, I've done that physiotherapy route myself. I had a major accident when I was 17 and I did 5-6 years of it 3-4 times a week before I finally pulled the plug and said enough is enough myself. It really gets monotonous, and it's like, well, one of these days I just got to get on with my life.
Absolutely.
So that brought you into swimming. So
yes.
How does that translate to Paralympic swimming?
Well, actually, at that first meet, I met three Paralympians that were heading off to the games in Barcelona, Spain. And, you know, they just talked to me about the games and what it meant to them and how they would be representing Canada on the world stage and all this stuff. It just sounded so amazing that I decided at my very first meet that that was my goal and that was what I was going to work towards, to represent Canada at the Paralympic Games one day. And it wasn't easy. It was a lot of hard work, a lot of training, a lot of dedication to my sport. But 9 years later, I was able to be selected to represent Canada at the Paralympic Games.
Well, that's wonderful, and I think that's what this show is all about. Our guest later after the break is Josh Blue. Have you heard of him?
I have. I've had the privilege, you know, of seeing him on stage and all that stuff. He's pretty good.
Yeah, so we've got him on after you, and, you know, his story is a lot alike with yours and has a lot of similarities. You know, he never thought he could be an athlete, and then somebody said, hey, you know, we've got a team for you. So, you know, I think that's what this story is about, is getting ahead regardless of, you know, the challenges that life faces or throws at you.
Absolutely. I think, you know, everybody faces different challenges regardless of whether you have a disability or not. Some challenges, I think, are just more blatant to see, and they're more open for people to observe that you do have a challenge. And I just think that all of life is about overcoming those challenges and making the best with what you have. And I definitely think that that's something that all Paralympians have done a very good job at, is showing that they are athletes, they are competitors first, and they just happen to have a disability.
Well, on that same subject, I believe you're also involved with the promotion of the joint effort between Pfizer and the Canadian Paralympic Committee, the new book that's out. I believe it's called Kids of Courage.
It is. It's a fabulous story that they've written. It's about two stories in one book, actually. The first story is about a little boy named Will who goes to a new school, and he's in a wheelchair, and it's kind of about him trying to make friends and fit in, and he's able to connect with his classmates when they realize that he's a sledge hockey player, and, you know, it's something that him and his classmates, they get to participate in one day during gym class, and, you know, just kind of shows them that, you know, he's a competitor just like they are, and it helps break down some of the barriers that were set up between him and his classmates. And so that's the first story. And then the second story is about a little girl named Salima, and she's visually impaired and she wants to ski. And so it's all about her and her friend working out how they would be able to do that, how her friend would be able to guide her, and about showing her parents that, you know, she can do this and they don't have to worry about her all the time, and she's going to, you know, she's going to take challenges head on. And it's just a great book, and it's put out by Pfizer and the CPC simply for promotion of the Paralympic Games that are going to be happening in Canada on March 12th to the 21st. And so this book is just to promote the Paralympics, hopefully to get people excited about the Games being in Canada, and also to learn a little bit more about what it is to be a Paralympic athlete. And the book is available online at morethanmedication.ca. You can download it for free. There's also a audio version on there for people if they'd like to just listen to the story. As well, the Pfizer Canada is going to be donating 40,000 hard copies of the book in both English and French to libraries across Canada. And upon request, you can also purchase the book or receive the book in Braille. So it's a pretty exciting moment in Canada for the Paralympics. And I think that this book is just supposed to help move that excitement along.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to talk about that more after the break. So we've got about 2 minutes, and then we'll be back with Darda Sales, Paralympic athlete.
Me. This is what it's like
to be me.
To be me. This is what it's like to be me.
When I'm swimming, I'm one with the water. As I challenge myself, everything and everyone melts away. I concentrate on moving my body from one end of the pool to the other. The building momentum seems to change my reality. And in those moments, I don't have a disability. I have a goal.
I absolutely fell in love with swimming at a young age. Swimming allowed me to focus on something positive and definitely forget my problems. The Swimmers with a Disability program allows me to compete with swimmers and individuals that are like me, and it provides me with an exceptional sense of achievement.
I don't think I'd be who I am without swimming today, without swan swimming today. It's like, well, before I joined swimming, I was very, like, nervous kid. I was shy. I still am fairly shy, but I'm more open to everyone and I talk more.
National and international competition for swimmers with a disability is really exciting. It's really developed in the past 10 years since I've been involved in the sport. Along with all of the intensity and excitement of the competition, there's also a lot of fun involved. You get to meet so many different kinds of people from all over the world. And it's also the biggest honor to be able to represent your country.
Just having the chance to be on a great team, the Canadian national swimmers with disability team for 9 years, and you know, going to the Paralympics, going to the World Championship, yes, it gives you confidence. Yes, it gives you. You become more mature. If I have to convince someone to get involved in the swimmers with disability, well, I would just say it would be the greatest experience of your life.
Welcome back. We're on Between the Margins on CHRW Radio 94.9, and we're talking with Darda Sales about her experience with the Paralympic Games. Welcome back, Darda.
Thank you.
So, this book that we are talking about, how did that come to be, and how did you get involved with it?
Well, Pfizer Canada has been a long-time sponsor of the Canadian Paralympic Committee, and they just decided that they wanted to do something to help promote the Paralympic movement in Canada, especially this year with us hosting the Winter Paralympic Games in March. So they worked together with the CPC and were able to contact some great authors, Cynthia Pratt Nicholson, to write the story. And they really were the driving force behind it to make it become a reality. And I was asked to become involved because I'm on the Canadian Paralympic Committee Heroes Program, which is a program that has Paralympic athletes who do motivational speaking and appearances to help promote the Paralympic movement in Canada.
Great. And that's a great cause to be involved in. So what would you say to all of the disabled people out there? And, you know, because like I talk later with Josh and get his opinions on, but I wanted to get your opinion too, is when you're faced with a disability, life can be extremely daunting. And, you know, it's really, really difficult to find hope for a future. So what would you say to all of those kids out there that are facing all of the systemic able body privilege that, you know, faces us, and say to them to give them hope?
Well, I think that I would most definitely let people know that, as I said earlier, you know, everybody is facing a challenge. Some are just more blatant than others, and some are a little bit harder than others. But we all have to keep a positive attitude about what's happening around us and the great things that we are able to accomplish, and to focus on the positives in our lives and to focus on the things that we can do, the things that we are good at, and to really, you know, surround yourself with a good support system. Surround yourself with people who love you for who you are and who are going to support you in everything that you do. And I think that there's always going to be something that's going to frustrate you or put you down, but if that's what you focus on, then you're going to get stuck there. And life is all about moving forward and becoming a better person and to face those challenges head on. So I think, you know, keep a positive attitude, keep your head up, and you'll do just fine.
Well, certainly, I mean, that's a good message for just about anybody, regardless of what they are physically or mentally capable of doing. You can overcome any challenges provided you have the determination and heart. And actually, I have a quote here from Benoit Saint-Armand, who I believe did the narration. He's a Canadian sledge hockey player. And he said, "It's energizing to feel the outpouring of support from our friends at Pfizer and from sports fans across Canada. We hope that these stories will encourage Canadians to learn more about Paralympic sport and watch us in action this March. Most of all, we hope these stories will encourage Canadians to reach for their own dreams and do everything they can to live a healthy, inspired life no matter what." And I think that's absolutely fabulous. But I was also curious, tell us a little bit more if you have some information about what More Than Medication is about, the area that you said we could find this book. Is there a philosophy behind that, or is this an initiative that Pfizer's working on?
Yes, it's an initiative by Pfizer, and basically they're wanting to, you know, let people know that there's more to life than just medication, and that there's other things that we can do in our daily lives that can help make us healthier and more vibrant, and to live a fuller life, not necessarily just through pharmaceuticals. And so this website has a whole bunch of different tips on ways to get active, healthy eating, those types of things. And as well, you can find the book on that website as well.
Wonderful. Yeah, when I'm personally working with people, you know, of all walks of life that face anxiety and depression, whether they be mentally disabled or physically disabled, or what their challenges is, I tend to use my sailboat and with the same concept, and I take groups out on Lake Erie and you know, spend the day quietly listening to the water beat on the hull, and you know, that tends to relax people and stop, you know, help them to, you know, get some peace without medications.
Absolutely. I think everyone needs a healthy outlet for stress. And whatever that is for you, whether it's, you know, sailing or going for a walk, or for me, it's going for a swim. So everyone needs something.
Absolutely.
And so to digress back to your personal experience, mm-hmm. I believe if Wikipedia is correct, which often it sometimes tends to be, that you competed in the 4x100-meter medley relay. So I know it's one thing to work as part of a team dynamic, but such a closely interconnected team. What was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, relay team for swimmers is the one opportunity that we have to actually work as a team to reach a goal. And it was a great honor for me in Sydney and again in Athens to be selected to be one of those four members on the relay team. And in Sydney, I had the great honor of being on the relay team with three girls who all in their own individual events had world records and gold medals. So they were at the top of their game, and to be able to be standing side by side with them on the podium at the end of the day was absolutely amazing.
I can certainly believe that, especially as you're standing there and they're playing the national anthem. That mm-hmm. must be quite the experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. I distinctly remember a few times when I was in school and I would have a really hard, you know, swim practice before school, and I would go to school, stand there and listen to O Canada. And I remember those days I was just so tired and so bored, and I, you know, didn't really pay attention to what O Canada meant and what it was all about. And, you know, to stand on that podium that day and listen to O Canada, it was the sweetest song that I've ever heard and I will ever hear again.
I can't even imagine the experience that you had been through, and you know, the whole Olympic experience. I can't think of a better program to encourage the youth of today to, you know, to excel regardless of the challenges that they face in life. We've got another short clip here about another person who at a very young age has excelled at the Paralympic sports. This is Jessica Long's story.
If you lose your legs or born with a disability like me, I mean, it's not the end of the world, you know. There's so many things that you can do that even able-bodied kids can't do.
Those are the words of a champion. Born in Russia, Jessica had a rare condition that left her crippled. After she was adopted by her family in the States, it became necessary for both of Jessica's legs to be amputated.
I didn't think she had much ability to move around. When she came, she never stopped moving. She didn't get in a playpen. She crawled everywhere, all over the house, onto tables, couches. She never stopped. And then when she got her leg, within a few days, she was up and walking around. She just never stopped from there.
With the help of family, friends, and artificial prosthetic limbs, Jessica now enjoys a full life.
I did gymnastics for a while, and my parents didn't want me to damage my knees, so they looked for a sport that I could do, you know, without my legs, and so I would get exercise. And I remember my first day of swimming, I thought, man, I was so tired. It was a lot of hard work.
About a year later, we figured out that she was really good. We went to her first competition. She likes to win. She has a lot of determination. But that determination has helped her to do anything that she needs to do.
I got a call up from the Nationals, so I went there, and I did really well. I got 2 gold medals and a silver.
She just amazes us with the goals she sets for herself and the things that she does.
At only 13 years of age, Jessica holds 21 American records, 8 Pan American records, 2 Paralympic records and 2 world records.
Out in front in lane number 6, Pernille Thompson of the Netherlands, just hanging on. But look at this, Jessica Long putting in some huge strokes towards the finish. I don't think Orlevovich can do it from Israel. Jessica Long is going to have to extend for the wall. She does it. A Paralympic Games record. A new record for Jessica Long, the 12-year-old from the USA. 109.67.
We were hoping for maybe a medal. And we were there cheering on. We were screaming and yelling. And she touched right before the other girl. And she did get the medal.
I do remember saying in my head, you know, I didn't come here to hit second. And then I looked up on the board and I saw it. And I pretty much went into shock.
She is an inspiration to many, not only because of her athletic accomplishments, but also because of determination to win despite being disabled.
No matter what disability the child is facing, they can still lead a normal life. There's no reason that they have to be made to feel different or that they are not a special person.
So, Darda, Jessica's long story is very similar to yours as well.
Absolutely. Actually, I've had the privilege of meeting Jessica on several occasions, and she's a bright and bubbly girl, and she's definitely got a killer mentality when it comes to being in the pool.
So what's next steps for Darda Sales? You know, you're on the top of the podium, you're promoting this awesome, amazing book across the country and promoting Olympic Games. But personally, what's your next goals now that you've reached the top on this one?
Well, I'm still pursuing perfection. Actually, I'm still training. I was in Beijing in 2008, and as it happens in sports, sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't. So I'm still kind of chasing that a little bit. We have world championships coming up in August in the Netherlands, and then there's also Commonwealth Games in October in India. So those are my goals at the moment. I still have to qualify for both those. But those are kind of what's in the future for me right now. I'm really excited about hopefully qualifying for Commonwealth Games, because Commonwealth Games is the largest international integrated swim meet, meaning that Paralympic athletes will be swimming at the same competition as Olympic athletes. So that would be a great honor to be able to represent my country there.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to wish you all the best with all of that, and thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been an inspiration, and we can't say enough of gratitude to you.
Well, thanks for having me.
So now we're going to take a short break here for station ID and a few of those ads, and then we've got Josh Blue coming up after the break.
We are all in this together, brothers and sisters, we can do better. Raise your voices to the sky, the price of
sky. So welcome back to Between the Margins here on CHRW 94.9 FM. And we just finished speaking to Darda Sales, who is a Canadian Paralympic athlete as well as a medalist. And now, folks, we have an absolutely special treat for you today. You may remember from our first show that was about accessibility and disability rights. We had an absolutely hilarious excerpt from a comedian with cerebral palsy that generated an absolutely unbelievable buzz. And that comedian's name was Josh Blue. Well, as it turns out, Josh is not only the winner of the fourth season of the NBC hit show Last Comic Standing, but he's also a member of the U.S. Paralympic soccer team. Now, Josh is a very down-to-earth, extremely personable and likable person whose comedy forces able-bodied people to take a new look at those they label disabled. His brand of reverse teasing, as he refers to it, makes people take a humbling look at themselves, challenging the stereotypes and preconceived notions that they may have about people with a physical disability. But aside from being a world-renowned comedian, Josh points out he is a damn good soccer player. So, on a long shot, we contacted his manager to see about getting an interview, and to our surprise, Josh agreed to give us a moment of time when he was on tour. So, Michelle caught up with him in his hotel in Hartford, Connecticut, and we have a clip on that, interspersed with some of his comedy routines.
So, a lot of you know this about me, but I am a member of the U.S. Paralympic soccer team. For those of you who clapped, I guess you realize I represent your country. And for those of you that did not clap, well, I guess you realize I represent your country. So does anyone know how the U.S. men's Paralympic soccer team did in the last Olympics? Oh, thank you for your support. So let's just say me and my teammates, well, we didn't have to worry about getting tested for any performance-enhancing drugs. We got our asses kicked. It was all good, though. We were competing against countries like Ukraine, Russia, Brazil, like countries that live together all year round and practice twice a day. Whereas the U.S. team, not so much. And the thing I realized, when you're competing against countries of that caliber, it doesn't matter how many times I watch that movie Miracle, it's just not going to happen.
Where are you today?
I am in Hartford, Connecticut.
Ah, so it's still cold there.
It's freezing here. It's brutal.
Don't you know you need to tell your manager, you know, it's winter. You need to book gigs in warm places.
Yeah, that's a good point, huh?
Yeah.
I'll talk to him about that. I tell him every year, but I don't think that's somewhat cold.
Yeah, maybe he's doing it intentionally on you there.
Yeah, cold people need to laugh.
Yeah, it makes them warm-blooded, eh?
It's making me cold talking about it.
Yeah, well, let's stop that. So we're doing a show on the Paralympics.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still on the Paralympic soccer team?
I am, yep. I'm still a member. Unfortunately, I'm not as prominent a member as I once was, but comedy kind of gets in the way of that.
Do you play on the team, or...?
Yeah, you know, I kind of have this open invitation to be a member of the team as long as I can. It's kind of nice having a famous player on the team that helps get attention drawn to the team. And I guess I'm not too bad at playing either. I'm getting older, but our coach just got rid of a lot of younger or older players, so I'm one of the senior players now.
So, you know, being famous helps with sport.
Yeah, definitely.
So, people ask me if I get nervous before coming up on stage. I said, no, I got this many people staring at me all day.
So how is famous sitting with you these days?
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I always tell people as far as being famous goes, I think it's not for everybody, but unfortunately I feel like I am able to handle it. And I attribute that to my disability because, in a weird way, being disabled is also kind of like being famous because everybody stares at you and, you know, kind of looks at you and whispers when you walk by. And now people do that, but it's because they know who I am. It's weird.
So
it's
no change. Weird.
Yeah, it's just a different whisper.
This whole experience has been awesome so far. Well, the crazy thing is now I go out on the streets and people come up to me and they're like, hey, man. Are you the drummer from the Muppets? Animal!
Don't get me wrong, I still get the people don't know who I am and don't understand why I walk like I walk, or which kind of is an interesting situation too, because now it's like, are they whispering because they're like, oh my god, that's Josh Blue, or oh my god, should we give that guy some change, or...
I'm thinking you don't need their change anymore.
Well, either way, I take it, you know?
Sure, why not?
I mean, a buck's a buck, right?
Always. I'm disabled myself, not my legs half steel, but people, I park in handicap parking, and, you know, when I'm having a good day, everybody's like, okay, so what is your disability? And then I'm having a bad day, and, you know, I'm crawling out of the car, so...
Right.
You know, I'm fortunate that depending on the level of the pain, I can cope. But some people aren't so fortunate.
Well, and the thing I look at, too, is, you know, when people don't know who you are, it's not that they're trying to be rude or mean. They just don't know any better, you know, unless someone's been taught, you know.
Yeah, I always say that bad people don't discriminate and harass. Uneducated ones do.
Yeah, exactly.
Was Paralympics... That was way before comedy, right?
You know, it's crazy. It wasn't. It was. I found out about Paralympics after I graduated college, and that's when I started doing comedy. So it really, actually, they both took a huge jump. And I remember the same week, one summer, I just found out there was somewhere I could play soccer, and I found out that I was pretty good at doing stand-up.
Well, I've heard your stand-up, and you are amazing at that. So.
Well, I'll tell you this, I'm a lot better at stand-up than I am at soccer, that's for sure.
Well, listening to you talk about soccer and how amazing you are, you know, stand-up must be out of this world.
Yeah, you know, I'm a scrapper, let's say that much. I love doing both things, and I pour my heart into both of them. And it's hard to, it's hard to compete with someone who's putting their heart into something, you know.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be that good as long as you play with passion.
Who was your motivation? I mean, I know with me, you know, people talk to me about the challenges that I've overcome to become successful at what I do, you know, but I have my heroes. Mm-hmm. Who got you to where you are?
Well, it's a mixture of people. I mean, athlete-wise, I'm a huge football fan, so I was a fan of, like, Jerry Rice or those wide receivers who could just run down the field and catch a ball and no matter what, you know. And but then there's a lot of other things that inspire me, like Van Gogh and Salvador Dali, and a lot of music really gets me going. Gets me thinking, you know, wow, these people are doing what they love and putting their passion to it, and it comes through, you know. It's amazing when you can look at a painting and go, wow, that person knew what the hell they were doing. Or maybe not knew what they were doing, but they had the feel.
Yeah, so most of it comes from emotional journeys. And
yeah, you know, I think a lot of it, too, is I kind of like when people tell me I can't do something.
That's that my way, favorite.
Yeah, that way when I do it, it's like, oh, yeah. Look at me. I did it better than you could.
Yeah, then they have nothing to say about that, do they?
No, they don't.
So I like to talk about challenges rather than disability because I think everybody has gifts and has talents that can take them forward regardless of the challenges that life faces them.
Right.
How did you overcome those challenges?
I don't know. I think it's just in me. It's just I don't. Like I said, I don't like to be told I can't do something, and it's not just to rub it in people's faces. I like to accomplish things, and not just one thing. You know, I like to be good at whatever I touch. I try to excel in that. It's led me down a lot of crazy paths. Look at me now here in Hartford.
Yeah. So what are some of the crazy paths?
I lived in Africa for a lot of years of my childhood, and so I speak French, and I speak Wolof, which is the native language of Senegal. Speaking that native language, like, it's pretty interesting to be able to speak a native language of Africa, and I bump into people from Senegal all the time, and let me tell you, the last thing they expect is for a homeless-looking guy with cerebral palsy to walk up and speak their native language fluently. I don't know how many people I've almost given heart attacks. Like,
so when were you in Africa?
I was there when I was 15 for a year. And then when I was 18, the day after I graduated high school, I went to Africa. And then when I was in college, I went when I was 20. And that time I did an internship in a zoo over there. So
wow.
I got a firsthand experience with large primates, large cats. You name the animal, I probably held it or got in a fight with it at some point.
Thank you. All right. I just heard about a guy in Florida who got attacked by an alligator trying to save his girlfriend's dog. I wouldn't even wrestle an alligator to save my girlfriend. That's a dinosaur. Teeth beat boobs every time. Oh, man.
I can just see Josh Blue wrestling a jaguar.
Yeah. I mean, I got enough scars on my body where you're like, what? Not from that, really. And it was, oh, yeah, look.
Probably very similar to getting through a U.S. airport.
Yeah, right. TSA people need to die.
Yeah, I go through airport security practically naked so that I can get through with some kind of reasonable time.
I'm like, do you know how long it took me to put my belt on the first time today?
Yeah. I don't think they care, unfortunately.
They don't.
I've started pulling the wheelchair card.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, I get to the gate, I say, yeah, give me a wheelchair, and then somebody pushes me through the system.
Right, yeah, that usually speeds it along.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like having a wheelchair, too, I think is a validation where their small caveman brain can wrap around, like, oh, a wheelchair means something wrong. If you don't have a wheelchair, they're just like, this person is obviously trouble.
But my ultimate favorite thing about being on the team is traveling with the guys. There is nothing more entertaining than watching 12 guys with cerebral palsy run through an airport. Something bad did happen to me in one of the last games of the tournament, though. I got injured. I got injured, and my coach had the nerve to put me on the disabled list. Hey, coach, isn't that the whole idea?
Calling all vinyl lovers, the London Record Show is coming to Centennial Hall on Sunday, February 14th. Thousands of records, CDs, DVDs, and other collectibles from vendors around North America will be ready for you to scavenge. General admission is $4 and doors will be open from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. Take advantage of the opportunity to shop where the dealers shop on Sunday, February 14th at the London Record Show. Music for the young and the old is proudly brought to you by 94.9 CHRW.
The University Students Council offers a variety of services to enhance student life and education at UWO. From bus passes and health plans to help with exams, these services make the experience at Western fun and fulfilling. CHRW has the lowdown on what's newly offered by your University Students Council. The UCC Postal Outlet is a full-service post office in the basement of the UCC. Not only can you get all your stamps, package, and money order needs taken care of, the UCC Postal Outlet is also the fastest spot to have your student loan processed. Just bring your loan forms and ID to the UCC Postal Outlet and let us take care of the rest. Plus, we only employ students, and any fees collected for loan processing go right back to the students. The UCC Postal Outlet is located on the lower level of the UCC, around the corner from Travel Cuts, and is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. Just another service provided by the University Students Council. For information about all the services they provide, check out usc.uwo.ca. The University Students Council, along with all they provide to students, is proudly supported by 94.9 CHRW.
94.9 CHRW, the leader in coverage of Mustang Sports, is looking for some good people to join our team. Be a part of a live broadcast crew, whether it be Mustang football, basketball, or hockey, or be a producer of Mustang Athletics as a reporter. Either way, you'll be part of a crew dedicated to bringing our listeners around the corner and around the planet great coverage of Mustang Sports. Interested? Contact us. Room 250, second floor, the University Community Center on the campus of the University of Western Ontario. Call us, 519-661-3602. Email us, chrwnd@chrwradio.com. 94.9 CHRW, your official voice of the Western Mustangs.
There's corporate radio, and then there's 94.9 CHRW. Two different worlds of music that coexist within a single space-time continuum. While few musicians are able to transcend both worlds, others can survive or possibly even thrive in the alternate reality. You're invited to travel to the parallel universe with your host, Darren Addison, where he spins a diverse selection of music from the other side of the pop rock spectrum. From the latest in indie rock and Britpop to post-punk, new wave, and much more. Tune in to the next transmission of the Parallel Universe on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. on your cue for Corporate Radio 94.9 CHRW and Just Listen.
And welcome back. We're here with Josh Blue, international comedian, winner of Last Comic Standing, and Paralympic soccer player. Welcome back, Josh.
Well, thank you. Hello again.
So did you win any medals as a soccer athlete?
No, unfortunately, we did not. The only tournament we ever won was one in Holland, so there was no medals involved in that. And the only Paralympic, I went to the 04 game. I would have went to the last ones, but we did not qualify. So, but, you know, we usually, you know, we follow the tradition of American men's soccer, and we do poorly in tournaments. You know, as a member of the team, I can tell you it's not all great, but like I told you earlier, there's a lot of new players where, you know, unfortunately, we don't get, you know, none of my teammates ever played on high school soccer or any kind of organized team just because we're disabled. And, you know, God forbid you have a disabled person on your team in high school.
Yeah, it makes it tough. I know my partner, she was an Olympic-bound hockey player, and she always compares women's sport, at least women's hockey, to men's hockey, being, you know, boys play hockey, you know, on the street and you know, in school and everything else. And so they've got a distinct advantage with years and years of practice ahead of them when, you know, girls' hockey starts, you know, somewhere in their early, you know, early teens usually. Yeah. So, you know, there's definitely a competitive advantage there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, too, is soccer is not really an American sport.
But I think it's getting there.
It's getting there, I'll give you that. But other countries, like top countries in the world are Ukraine, Russia, and Brazil. And those guys, I can just tell, have been playing since they stepped out of the womb. You know, they just have a natural gift of this is what we do.
Yeah, the soccer programs, and I know I coach my daughter's soccer team, so, I mean, it's starting to get there from, you know, the young kids in the U.S. and Canada are starting to get a lot more involved, and hopefully that'll help the sport.
Yeah, definitely.
What's on your plate now? I mean, okay, you're a successful, internationally renowned comedian that's absolutely funny. You know, you've made the Paralympic soccer team. You've got a lifelong membership. You know, what challenges are ahead now for Josh Blue?
I've been dedicating a lot of my life. I have a little, almost 2-year-old son. And I have a daughter on the way in May. So that's a big part of my life now is being daddy. And it's cool to be at a point in my life where, you know, I'm able to stay home for a week at a time if I want to, or, you know, and be daddy and embrace that while still pursuing other dreams like acting and performing, maybe get into some more theater stuff. But I'm trying to do more like sitcoms and movie stuff.
Cool. So we've all heard the flick Bend It Like Beckham. You think there's a potential movie called Bend It Like Blue?
Crooked Like Blue? I don't know.
Crooked Like Blue?
Something like that. Yeah, you know, I really do think there's a potential of a story about my life. As you've heard, I've done a lot of random things.
Well, you know, it makes life interesting when you get to experience so many different things like you have. So what would you say to someone who's young and disabled, and as you know, life can look awfully bleak when you're sitting there in that situation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, first of all, know that there are programs to get involved in. You know, like I said, I mean, I never played soccer in high school or junior high, but I just didn't know that there was programs that there were out there, you know, that I could join a part of it. And I think the other thing, too, is realize, you know, there are some mean people out there, but like I said, the majority of people aren't trying to be mean. They just don't know any better unless you tell them. And unfortunately, that might be your lot in life, is to educate people about why you're in a wheelchair or why you walk the way you walk or talk the way you talk. And without diversity and people being different, then this world would be pretty damn boring.
So the Paralympics and that program, how has that changed your life?
Well, it made me feel worthy as an athlete, as a human being, and go, look, I may not be able to play at the same level as an able-bodied person, but I would love to see one of these able-bodied persons play the way I play.
Yeah.
You get palsy, you know. You get palsy and then try to play this way, you know. I doubt you'd be good at all.
Yeah, well, you know, we make the best of what we're handed, right?
You have to. I mean, life is too short not to. That's the way I look at it, too. Life is way too short not to do exactly what you want to do. Sometimes you got to do stuff you don't want to do, but I just do the things I don't want to do in between doing the things that kick ass. You know, like, I don't necessarily want to change my son's diaper, but I want to hang out with him and not smell crap.
Well, you know, that's a good analogy. So when you're playing soccer, what position do you play?
I play striker, which is the goal scorer, in theory.
In theory?
I've seen it done.
It's hard to do an interview when you're laughing.
That's a good sign, you know?
Yeah, well, we started this show about 8 months ago, and our first show was on accessibility and access, and we had a guest on there that drove his motorized wheelchair from London, Ontario to Ottawa.
Wow.
And that was when I first ran across your stuff on YouTube, and we actually played some of your stuff on the show then, and it was a huge hit. So.
Cool.
You're an inspiration to people with challenges, you know, around the world, and I can't think of a better mentor for young people that are trying to, you know, get ahead in the world and trying to figure out their walk in life.
That's really cool to hear. You know, it's cool when you hear that kind of feedback about, you know, people seeing what I do and taking something from that in a positive way, you know. And it's weird because, you know, when I went into this whole thing, aka my life, you know, I'm not trying to impress anyone, or I'm not trying to, you know, be inspirational, but people take inspiration from what I do, and I think that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like my goal isn't to be inspirational. But if you see my accomplishments as inspirational, it feels really good, you know?
Well, I don't think anybody can see your accomplishments as anything but inspirational. We look at our lives and the challenges that are ahead, and when you're an able-bodied person, I mean, those challenges can be extreme. But then when you add, you know, disability on top of that, and this is an able-bodied world that we live in, and, you know, to break through that system that makes life so difficult on a day-to-day basis, and to break ahead, and not only to do that, but to use your disability to get you there. I mean, that, I think, is the most inspirational piece.
Thanks, man. Thanks. You know, it's always interesting to hear that from people, you know, because, you know, like I said, I don't think of it that way, because I just think of what I want to do with my life, and God forbid you get in my way.
Yeah, I think that's the message that you get loud and clear from Josh Blue is...
Try to stop me.
Try and stop you, exactly. So you're now a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And another one on the way. And,
yes.
And that means that Josh Blue's off the market for all of those girls out there.
All those poor ladies out there.
I just know that hearts are weeping at that point.
Across the world.
So, what's the family life like?
It's cool, you know. My wife is Japanese, so let's just say, you know, when you marry someone from another planet, it's intense, you know. I guess let's just say, like, between her Japanese accent and whatever I have going on, a lot of stuff gets missed.
Communication is the trouble there?
Sometimes, you know, we're good, but it's just funny. Like, I we'll go somewhere, I'll be like, I didn't know we were going here. Like, well, I told you. It's like, oh, you described this differently.
Or I heard it differently?
Yeah, and then that's probably more like it. My dumbass is the one that messed up, you know?
Yeah, I know with my fiance that, you know, yes, dear, is usually the best answer to her.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Of
yes,
course
dear.
We were going here, you know. I just must have, you know, misunderstood the, you know, note that you left me on the table.
That's why I wore these gym shorts, but okay.
So the Josh Blue home life isn't much different than every other home life.
You know, yeah, I think so, you know, just day-to-day challenges and you know, it's awesome. Like I said, I feel very fortunate that I can stay home for a week at a time or a month at a time, you know. I got the second one on the way, you know, and I'm able to take a whole month off around that, you know.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's cool. So I can go home and go through the gamut of hormonal moments of a big pregnant woman. Buckle up.
Yeah, you better say some wonderful things about her so that you don't get killed when she hears this interview.
Oh, yeah. You know, she's heard a lot of my interviews. I haven't been killed yet, so I just don't think she understands what I'm saying anyway. So.
Okay. So are you learning Japanese?
Hi. Yeah, I speak a little. I'm learning at the same speed as my son, really, because she only speaks Japanese to him. So inevitably, I learn it, because I have to know what she's saying to him.
Smart woman.
Yeah, it's cool, you know. It's cool to, you know, raise her boy with two languages. Hopefully he'll retain it and use it for something.
So there's little Josh Blue around. Is he cracking jokes yet?
Yeah, he's pretty funny. He's got good timing. He really does.
Okay.
He's a little ham.
Oh, yeah, well, at that age, he would be.
Yeah, he's definitely a ham.
And he sounds like he's got dad wrapped right around his fingers.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
So what challenges are there to being a parent with your disability?
You know, I hate putting on, like, onesies with all those snaps on them.
Yeah.
That's a pain in the ass.
You know, that's what I was thinking. That arm of yours doesn't get in the way, does it?
Yeah, right. It's definitely some challenges like that, you know. He might not be the sharpest dressed baby, but he's not lacking in love from his daddy.
Thanks for all your time, Josh, and we're hoping to all come up to your show in Michigan.
Please do. All right, well, hopefully I'll see you then. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Between the Margins on CHRW 94.9 FM. Special thanks to our producer, Adam Prince, and our exceptional guests, Paralympic swimmer Dar Sales, and U.S. Paralympic soccer player and winner of the fourth Last Comic Standing, Josh Blue. Join us again on February 15th for the next edition of Between the Margins, where we talk about LGBT parenting. For more information, check out our blog and our website at www.betweenthemargins.ca. This has been Michelle Boyce and Gio Lakey. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great day.